Chabalina!
This is V-Wingers V-Remote. I'm Laurel Bowman. Germany's army will transfer 1,000 anti-tank weapons and 500 Stinger-class surface-to-air missiles to Ukraine to help in its battle against Russia's invasion, the government said Saturday. The weapons will be delivered as quickly as possible to Ukraine, according to a government statement. Meantime, pro-Ukraine protests erupted across the world on Saturday as thousands took to the streets from London to Rome to Barcelona to denounce Russia's assault on its neighbor. Moscow's invasion has sparked global outcry and prompted punishing sanctions from the West, including some against Russian President Vladimir Putin himself. On Saturday, rallies were held in cities across the world to join the chorus of condemnation and urge an end to the bloodshed. Switzerland saw thousands of people gather across the country, including about 1,000 outside the United Nations European headquarters in Geneva. In Russia's neighbor Finland, thousands of people gathered in the capital Helsinki shouting, "Russia out, down with Putin." More than 1,000 demonstrators answered the call of trade unions and NGOs in central Rome, huddling around a podium bearing the words, "Against war." Anti-war demonstrators were also out from Barcelona, numbering around 1,000 on Saturday, according to local police. In Georgia, almost 30,000 people hit the streets of Tbilisi Friday night, waving Ukrainian and Georgian flags and singing both countries' national anthems. Russia's attack on Ukraine resonates strongly in Georgia, a fellow ex-Soviet republic that suffered a devastating Russian invasion in 2008. Protests also took place in New York, Washington, Taiwan, and Brazil. This is VOA News. Afghanistan's main universities reopened Saturday, 6 months after the Taliban returned to power, but only a trickle of women went back to now segregated classes. Most secondary schools for girls and all public universities were shuttered following the Taliban's August 15th takeover, sparking fears women would be barred from education, as happened during the first rule of the hardline Islamists from 1996 to 2001. The Taliban insists they will allow girls and women to be educated this time around, but only in segregated classes and according to an Islamic curriculum. Some public tertiary institutions in the south of the country resumed last month, but on Saturday, Kabul University, the oldest and biggest, with a student body of around 25,000 last year, reopened without fanfare and few students in attendance. Students told journalists there was a lack of lecturers as well. Tens of thousands of Afghans fled the country as the Taliban stormed back to power. Among them, teachers and lecturers who had been very critical of the hardline Islamist group. The United States has barred travel by Somali officials and other individuals to the United States, accusing them of undermining the democratic process in Somalia. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken said the United States imposed the visa ban after Somalia pushed back to March 15th, parliamentary elections due to have been completed on Friday. Blinken said in a statement issued by the State Department, "We are now imposing visa restrictions under this policy against a number of Somali officials and other individuals to promote accountability for their obstructionist actions." No central government has held broad authority for 30 years in Somalia, which is caught in a lengthy election process repeatedly held up in a current power struggle between the now president and prime minister. The parliamentary election, which started in November, is an indirect process that involves clan elders picking the 275 members of the lower house, who then choose a new president on a date yet to be fixed. Data from the UN Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs shows 4.3 million people in Somalia are affected by drought, with 271,000 displaced as a result. The al-Qaeda-linked al-Shabaab group, which frequently carries out attacks in the capital, Mogadishu, has also been an impediment to the election. Via remote, I'm Laurel Bowman reporting for VOA News.